Hey, this is Adrian.
And this is Ethan.
And this is Whiskey and Wires, brought to you by Intuitive Networks, where we talk all things tech.
And all things whiskey. Well, hey everybody, we are... Was that loud? It shocked me. I wasn't expecting it to be so loud right away.
I made him jump. I was going to cut that, but that's kind of interesting. Yeah, see, we're peaking really bad here. Oh, my gosh.
You're super enthusiastic to start.
We are so excited. hey, everybody. We are back. This is episode 4, Whiskey and Wires. We are here with the crew, Mr.
Adrian.
And?
Ethan.
With I&I, Intuitive Networks Incorporated.
Is that what we're called?
That was a good intro.
That was all right.
Dun, dun, dun.
except for killing my ears a little bit.
I know. Should we try it again?
No.
Let's go into it. Oh, man. Gentlemen, how you been this week?
Not too bad.
Yeah? You got a little something coming up, don't you?
Yeah, I got a wedding coming up.
You're getting married.
Celebrate.
Good times, come on.
And that's going to play. It's one of my least favorite songs on the face of the earth.
Are you going to do, you got a DJ, right? So they're going to do the whole.
Oh, yeah, we got a DJ, but I got a blacklist, and that's definitely going
to
be one of them.
The chicken dance going
to
be?
There are a couple that need to be at every wedding.
Yep.
Cupid Shuffle. A ton of them.
Yeah. Funny enough, Catherine, my fiance, she blacklisted Despacito.
Really?
Yeah.
She said no way.
No way.
Why?
Now, the English or the original?
The English one.
Okay, the Justin Bieber one?
Yeah, the all Spanish one's fine.
Okay.
Just no Justin Bieber.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a no Justin Bieber wedding. Don't look like him. Don't talk like him. Do not mention a song by him.
Exactly.
I'm going to come in, boombox in hand, Bieber in the track. I'm going to get kicked out so fast.
You know,
just for you.
I'd be laughing at it, but she might come over there and, like, destroy you.
Yeah, well, I don't know her that well. I know you pretty well. That would be a great way to break the ice with her moving forward. You're like, hey, I was the guy who almost ruined your wedding, remember? Hey.
If we totally could, you should do, like, a whole show dedicated to her and how much she loves Justin Bieber and that song. Unless she really does love Justin Bieber.
No, I don't think she is a big fan of him.
Not at all, period.
Yeah.
Where are you guys going on your honeymoon?
So we're going to be doing 3 weeks at 3 different locations. We're going to do a week in New Orleans.
Ooh.
Fancy.
We're actually staying at the hotel where the Sazerac bar is, where the Sazerac was invented.
All right.
And the shrimp is.
Okay. Get some shrimp po' boys.
Oh, yeah. Gumbo, jambalaya.
All of it.
We're going to go Café Du Monde.
So.
Good that day.
Have you been there before?
No, first time.
All right, I don't want to ruin it. Never mind. Keep going.
It's going to be in July, though, so we know we're getting ourselves into. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you been down, like, Louisiana, Mississippi area in the summer?
I have not, but I've been to Orlando. So if I could do Orlando, it's
okay.
Probably
the
same.
It's a little more. I mean, Orlando is kind of coastal, right? I mean, it's there.
And Orlando's inland.
And yeah, it's hot and sweaty and buggy and everything.
Yeah. Just feel like there's a rag over your face.
Which we're also going to go week two. And then we're gonna do a week of that, go to Disney World. She hasn't been. It's her first time. And then Harry Potter World over in Universal.
Mm-hmm.
VelociCoaster also just opened a few months ago, so we're excited for that. Dang. Zero to 82 miles an hour in 1 second.
Yeah, buddy.
Launch. 1 second?
Launch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the?
It's nice. These magnets.
All your guts are going to be in the back of the...
I hope so.
Oh, gosh. I'm not a big old coaster person.
We went to Disney World Orlando like a year and a half ago-ish, mm-hmm. and it was still under maintenance, but they were doing all the advertising and stuff like that. It was
What are those guns that shoot with the magnets? Something gun. That's what it made me think of.
Railgun.
That's
rail
what
gun.
It is. Yeah,
I got it.
That's freaking crazy. It's basically you're riding a... Yeah. Railgun bullet.
Yeah, beyond the horizon targeting capabilities.
Oh,
units.
My gosh.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're not here to talk about railguns, although we totally could tangent and just say, forget it, what we're talking about.
Yeah, our technology nerdum is showing.
Well, there's probably some IT components to railguns, too. Maybe we should do a special episode.
Sure.
Yeah, don't get hit by one.
That's a sure way to not get flagged by the FBI.
Oh, yeah.
which we are big supporters of.
And, yeah, we love you.
Against the federal government.
I, for one, support my federal overlords in all their endeavors.
Yeah, and we say overlords in such a loving fashion.
It's a wonderful tyranny. I'm sure dun, dun, dun. It's a benevolent tyranny.
Yes, it's going to be amazing. yes, whatever you say, sir. Okay, no, but we are here to talk about a little tech, a little whiskey. We are, so let's go into the fun stuff first. What are we going to be sipping on or already sipping on today?
Already sipping on.
Yeah, we're already. Actually, I haven't had any.
So 2 weeks ago for my bachelor party, I actually went to Kentucky for 4 days.
Yeah.
With my groomsmen, actually my dad and my soon-to-be father-in-law, which was really fun, actually. And the one place that we really wanted to go to this time around for people who haven't been there before, but did not get a chance to because it was sold out for Derby Week, was Woodford Reserve.
Oh, Derby Week. That's right. Did you make it?
Didn't make it to Derby. We left a couple days early.
Okay.
But, the city was getting pretty crowded by Tuesday.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But, yeah, Woodford Reserve. So it's Old Faithful, in my opinion. Like, Woodford Reserve is one of my go-tos. It's usually in a decanter at my house.
Mm.
You know, won't break the bank, but it's always solid. It's like 6 to 8 years age. It's a batch. 90.4 proof, if I recall.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I can taste it. Mm.
Yeah, this is one that I've really been looking forward to. This is a go-to for me as well. This is the one that I have at my house just always.
It's your staple.
Yep.
Yeah.
That being said, the one we're drinking from right now is from the office. It's one that's on the counter in the office.
Yeah, office bar.
Yep.
There's no dust on it. It's always been used.
It is a...
We're trying to make office bars great again.
Yeah.
It is a 1 3/4 liter bottle that we've had for not that long, and it's about half empty. So
we've had it for a bit of time, at least 2 months.
This is our second bottle.
Yeah. Just stop joking. Yeah, it is our second bottle.
Yeah. But I was really looking forward to this because this is one of, within the office and within my space, one of our most loved brands. And I'm actually really excited to learn more about it.
Hmm.
You know, Woodford Reserve, I mean, this particular one, there's really nothing special like an aging. It goes into new American oak casks, level 4 char. It might be 3.5 or 4.
It's like the alligator, like we talked about last time. Yeah.
Mm. And, ages for 6 to 8 years. Their rickhouses are not quite as low or short as like Four Roses,
mm-hmm.
but they're kind of in between Four Roses rickhouses and like a regular rickhouse like Jimby and stuff. So medium size, they don't believe in going super high.
So for everybody listening who does not know, what is a rickhouse?
A rickhouse is a wood structure, usually covered like in tin or in Woodford Reserve's case in some of the rickhouses in limestone.
Mm. Oh, is that for like keeping it cool and everything?
Just history.
Like okay, that's
their,
what they
most
have.
Most of their entire like campus is limestone covered buildings.
Jeez.
Wow. It's kind of rooted back to the original distillery, which they're still using to this day. It's been expanded on, but like the original one has like this old thing. And
that's neat.
They've been distilling there, I think, since like the late 1700s.
Jeez.
So some of the stone's still there. But yeah, it's a really cool place. Probably one of the nicest looking distilleries, except there with Maker's Mark. I mean, those two are just
off the chart. I have not been yet.
Yeah, it's one of my goals to make a trip out there and visit a couple of places. Ed and I have been talking about it a little bit, maybe one of these years.
Yeah.
This is so tasty. I have been, don't shoot me, but been mixing a lot of the drinks lately. So I haven't had it straight up in a long time.
Yep.
And I forget how good it is.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is that back in the mid to late 2000s,
mm-hmm.
this was considered a higher end premium bourbon.
And now this is like a
go-to. It still has a great following, still is classic, but for some reason I feel like people just kind of forgot about it.
Yeah.
It became so popular, I began seeing it everywhere, right? And so I almost feel like the just seeing it everywhere kind of diminished people's, value of it. If it was very available, then,
it's got to be one for the masses, like a Bud Light or something like that, but it's not the case, right?
No,
right.
No,
and, going back to this, the bourbon, though, the distillery, it's in Versailles, Kentucky. It's one of the few ones in Versailles, but over there, the locals, figured out this time around to say Versailles. Like, oh, you go.
Of course they do.
You're gonna go to Versailles.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
I'm from Louisville, Kentucky.
They're right around all like the equestrian centers for like derby and horses. So like you see some of the coolest horses on your way there for like 10 minutes driving in. But yeah, it's just really solid stuff. Their limited editions are always also real fun. They have like their like once or twice a year they'll do something really experimental. Like I have like a whiskey made out of white corn versus yellow corn.
Okay.
100%. For the
corn. Didn't even know that.
They also mess with different wheats. Mm-hmm. They'll make it with chocolate infused. Like they just do awesome.
What's the drink? Stuff. What's the standard drink for the horse races?
Mint julep.
That's what it is.
And Woodford Reserve is the sponsor.
The official like bourbon of the mint julep.
Yeah, and also Kentuckians that live in Kentucky hate the mint julep.
Probably would make sense.
Well, it's actually I don't know if you guys knew this, but the mint julep, the history behind it.
Mm.
It was actually considered a breakfast drink.
Really?
Yeah. So you have like your flapjacks or whatever. Yeah. And like a mint julep or two.
Like a mimosa.
And they get the day started. Yeah. Yeah. The early white man's mimosa.
The Kentucky mimosa.
That's what they should recall it. That's so true. The dirty mimosa. Well, to that, boys, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. I know, when I was recording, I was like, it sounds really cool when you cheers. I'm like, it picks it up just great.
Right.
Okay, so as we said, we are going to be going over some tech solutions. Now, you guys do a lot of work in the dental space, offices, multiple offices, as well as the little, you know, one-off, you know, mom and pop, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And a big thing right now is getting all of their data, right, in the various different forms, into cloud. Right.
Sure.
You guys
sure.
are doing that. You're setting people up. So we kind of figured we'd chat a little bit about it. So for those listening, you know, what we want to do is kind of give you a couple of top brands if you were going to, you know, do it yourself, and then explain what it is, why it's awesome. And if you don't do it, you're dumb. Just kidding. Don't take that to heart. Don't get all butthurt on me. Just kidding. Okay. So talking about it, what the heck is cloud storage?
Yeah. So cloud storage, it's been around a while. A lot of people can understand what it is. You get it for your phones, you get it for your iPads, you know. But within a corporation, cloud storage works a little bit different in that, you know, a lot of folks have worries about the cybersecurity concerns and some of the, you know, obviously HIPAA comes into play anytime that we talk about a dental office or a doctor's office, anything.
Securing
like that.
All the customer,
right.
Or patient. I'm like, what do you call them? The patients.
I made the mistake of calling a patient a client. One time when I walked in with the dentist, I was like, you got many clients today? And they just gave me the weirdest look. You mean patient?
Patients? Yeah. I guess you're a client.
I mean,
could be.
Yeah. It's kind of funny, actually, how many dental offices we help. Because we didn't go out there one day and we were like, we're going to pick up some dental offices.
Yeah, it sounds super fun.
Yeah, yeah. Because we were open to, you know, medical offices, doctor offices, you know, surgery centers, things like that, just because we can support HIPAA regulations. And it just so happened that when we went out there for that push, we got 3 or 4 dental offices all at once that it just so happened to all be. So we really built that specialty with the dental offices. We were able to, you know, all their Open Dental or Medento or all these different softwares that dental offices specifically use.
They have to have.
We became very proficient with them very quickly.
Yeah.
Because we were doing the same thing over and over and over again for several different places.
So you just put it into a process. It's an easy implementation.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And not only that, it makes our marketing for new dental offices much easier as well, because a lot of MSPs and a lot of IT folks who go out there to help medical offices, they provide just first and second level support in that, you know, you got locked out, we can unlock it. If something breaks, we can replace it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to a lot of those specialties,
you
just can't really do it because they have no experience and they say, hey, just go to your provider.
Mm-hmm.
They have a support desk, go ask them. But
you know, if a dental office calls it and they have flipped it, would you then reverse it?
Yeah. I mean, we can, I don't know what I'm completely understanding.
Get it, Missy Elliott? Flip it in reverse, it. The song? Oh my gosh, are you serious? That joke just fell on deaf ears.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too, like, acquainted with the R&B.
My reflexes were too slow to catch that one.
Woodford has dulled our senses. Oh, they didn't even catch it. Okay, moving on. I'm just going to, you know, cut that one out at minute 1440.
You know, Tyler, I'm sure that was a wonderful joke. I'm sure that it's one
you did. Did you enjoy it?
I did. Okay, I personally enjoyed it. Yeah. Okay, so when you're going in there, so they'll call you. Like, when you're setting this whole cloud thing up, though,
yeah,
is it already in place? You just have to, like, fine-tune them storing all their stuff?
So cloud storage and cloud access is a great alternative to having a server.
Okay. On-premise, whatever they call it.
For a lot of businesses, just having a server, whereas it could be helpful in a lot of things like that, it's not really effective or necessary, but they still need to have a system of, you know, having their stuff.
Right.
So for the folks that we've set up with cloud storage specifically, a lot of the times when we came in as a, you know, partner and as a helper, they already had, to some extent, some sort of cloud storage in place. For example, one client we had, 20 employees within a couple different offices within. They were using Dropbox.
And
we were like, okay, great.
Great for pictures, not for super sensitive information.
Well, and that's the thing. It can be if it's set up correctly. So that's part of our job whenever we get set up with any cloud-based storage. You know, we get in there, we make sure all the settings are right, we make sure that you got your two-factor turned on, we make sure that you can't share outside the organization, only specific members can invite into the organization. You make sure that all these different security standards are regulated, and then you basically just have your cloud system that you reach into, and as long as it's secure, it's fine. But again, setting that up is, it varies from group to group how effective it'll be.
Would you recommend Dropbox as a good cloud hosting solution? Because I view that, and I'm sure a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's pictures. It's things you want to share. It's not
exactly
sensitive.
Yeah, it's definitely a wide ranging program, but I'd recommend it. It's fairly easy to set up. It can be made secure as long as you have the right tools and setup. But again, having someone help you make sure that it's good enough for you is ideal.
Yeah.
Just make sure it's Dropbox Business.
Yes.
Oh, not the other one? The free version?
No, don't do like the personal Dropbox. There's more security issues with that.
That just goes for pretty much everything. That's been, and I won't name any names or anything like that, but we had someone approach us to want to be our client, just they needed some IT work. And this particular dental office was not up to HIPAA regulations, which is not a good thing at all. But a lot of times that's why they reach out.
I was going to say, is that common, more than what we would think?
It's more than what we would hope. But but again, the good dental offices, the good doctor's offices that find themselves not in regs or as regs develop that they don't follow, they reach out to people who can help them get there if they aren't proficient.
Right.
This particular place, again, no names shall be named, but they were a very profit-oriented dental office who did not want to get in regs if it cost them money. They wanted quick solutions so they could keep working and just brush everything else under the table. So
this is a lesson on what not to do, everybody.
No, absolutely.
It's that mentality of, well, unless I get audited.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that'll never happen to me.
Yeah, it's like, I don't need insurance, but till you're car breaks or you burn something down.
But and to the sort of note that we were talking about, the first thing that let us know that something was wrong in this office when we dove in and started doing our inspections was that every single program that they had was the unlicensed personal or home edition of those they had. So it wasn't secure, it wasn't licensed, it wasn't supported. It was just whatever you could get for free for a home computer and then shared across a network that was not set up well.
So for a large organization, multi-location, whatever, I mean, the expense on a Dropbox is not off the charts and astronomical. No. I mean, they're not spending hundred grand or something like that.
And that's part of the draw of it.
A couple hundred bucks a month.
Yeah, exactly. In the worst case, if you have a lot of stuff that's being shared, then it's a couple hundred a month.
Yeah.
If you want to keep most of your stuff local and just share, like, say, your QuickBooks stuff or anything like that, it becomes very cost effective when compared to a server. Obviously, it's not as powerful as a server.
Mm-hmm.
Servers have certain upsides that cloud computing just doesn't at this time.
Like what? Give me two.
Sure. With cloud computing, there is that aspect of it that you need to be connected to, in this case, Dropbox's servers in order to get the stuff. If you had the servers in-house, you have access to them because they're right there.
Walk over to the...
Yeah, you can walk over.
Hot closet.
There's something wrong with it. You can go fix it yourself. You can change out whatever hard drives you need, anything like that. You can make changes. You can upgrade. If your Wi-Fi goes out and you're a cloud computer, you can't access any of your stuff. Your business goes dark.
Yep.
So there's...
Dark sometimes.
Right. There's positives and negatives. That's, again, something that we do for folks is we make sure that there are always fallback plans for if they decide to be a cloud-based system. Do they have backups in place? Do they have strategies in place where places they can go that have, you know, so they can keep their day working?
Or redundancy.
Thank you.
That's the fancy word,
that's
right?
The word that I was actually
reaching for. That's the IT word.
Yeah, that was the word I was reading. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Someone does.
Cheers.
Cheers.
There we go. Because I need to tickle my throat here.
Speaking of redundancy, I'm about to get a little redundant with this drink.
Mm. From the Office of Redundancy. Mm. So, okay, so these dental offices, and I guess you could apply it to all sorts of business, but we're in particular talking about the sensitivity of everything that goes along with patient information. So they might share it on, you know, Dropbox, the private or whatever. Do you have any recommendations of like some major brands? Like Dropbox would be one, but what other solutions do you guys either recommend or implement yourself?
Well, eFolder, or now it's Anchor, Anchor product. It's kind of like a Dropbox, but you have a lot more security and also some more features. Like they have rollback capability, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
We have instances like that. There'll be a ticket open. Like, I just deleted an entire Excel sheet.
That please anyone save uses. My life.
I will get fired, you know, if I, no problem. Log in, roll back, open it again.
You guys are like cloud gremlins. I'll get it.
That's actually a large part of our job is the oopsies.
Really?
And that's for both, you know, servers and for, you know, our cloud-based. It makes it easier if it has those features. Mm-hmm. But that's what backups are for.
So of the dental offices that have called in, who is the person that's calling in the most? Like, what is their position? What's their need? What's driving them to go? Oh,
so with that, there's two different answers. If it's a dental office that we haven't worked with before,
mm-hmm.
and if there's a dental office that we have worked with before, usually when we set up a client or a partnership or even just a one-time, hey, we need these parts, can you get it to us?
I'm thinking before that, like when someone calls in cold, hey, I just Googled all right. you.
So usually, in our experience, it's been the doctor.
Himself.
Yeah, or herself.
Oh,
gotcha.
You got me. Themselves.
Themselves.
Yeah.
Or they-selves.
So.
Oh my gosh.
In our experience, it's usually the doctor, only because at least the level of dental offices that we've gone to, I think our largest dental office has 3 or 4 doctors and then maybe 15 other employees. Mm-hmm. And so with a dental office of that size, the primary doctor within the, I want to say the firm, but I know that's not right. Within
the practice.
The practice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Words.
You're killing it today with your words.
Words are hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nomenclature is a bugger.
Synonym.com. Usually the head doctor within the practice is the one who, if they don't have an IT specialist,
mm-hmm.
all those responsibilities fall on.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, we see it time and time again with dental offices and not in dental offices. It's whoever basically starts this business, they think, oh, I can do the IT.
Oh, gosh.
I know. And then they hire a bunch of employees and they got it for a year, 2, 10 years.
Yeah.
But then they expand to a point where they just don't got it anymore.
Yeah.
It's all those unknown unknowns.
You grow bigger and bigger and bigger. Yep. And after a while, you open a practice with 100 people. And then, you know, 10 years later, you've got 5,000. Like, what are you doing with all those records and every piece of data there?
And so usually it's either if they have an in-place IT personnel already, someone wearing that hat, or in our experience, it's usually been the leading doctor of practice.
Okay. Now, what problems does this solve for a dentist? right? The owner, the practitioner, the doctor, whatever.
Ideally, most of them. I mean, from an IT standard, when an MSP comes into in this case, a practice,
mm-hmm.
if they come in and there's still IT issues after they get involved, something's wrong mm-hmm. with that. The only case that we've ever seen where that's happened is, again, in those cases where the practice doesn't want to or doesn't have the resources needed mm-hmm. to shore up everything. For example, they have a server that doesn't have all the right, you know, security features or anything like that, and they can't buy a new one, things like that. And that's just knowing
right.
what you need for it.
So then as far as if you're going to break it all down, you've got security, right? That's a good one.
Yeah, security. Security is arguably, and we've been talking about it for a couple of weeks, arguably in this day and age that we're in right now, security is one of the most important things to get right in IT.
Yeah.
You can have slow computers and you can still survive. You can have, you know, bad printer and you can survive. You get hit with a crypto attack, your business
could be
take
done.
A big hit
yeah.
and potentially be done.
Yeah. Have you guys had anything like that where you've come in and experienced, you know, your client getting an attack or something like that within cloud and you guys got to come and fix it?
That's kind of a loaded question in that we've set it up in such a place where attacks happen all the time mm-hmm. and it's fixed by the time we hear about it.
Oh, okay.
Because they have the tools and things in place.
Automatically?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And anything that we need to roll back or any information that was lost because it was quarantined, we can, you know, manually go in there and restore backups and things like that. Mm-hmm. But again, if that means that everything's working.
So we've got Dropbox, we've got Anchor. What's another cloud solution?
VMware. I think a VDI environment would be...
Yeah. Oh, I love talking about VDI environments.
I have no idea what you just said.
Okay.
So let's talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a solution we've been coming out with more and more of our clients with, just because it is, for one thing, really cool.
super cool.
So
super cool.
What does VDI stand for?
Virtual desktop interface, I believe. I could get that wrong, but that's basically what it is.
Yeah.
It's basically you
had a stand for Vader did it.
Probably not.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
Just making sure.
Sorry about that. it's basically in an ideal setup with a VDI. How that works. Jeez, man.
That's a rookie move.
Why's your phone on?
I don't know. This stupid thing.
Jeez.
Ugh.
Amateur hour.
Seriously. VDI.
So ideally what it looks like is, say you have 10 employees. Every employee has a desktop or a laptop.
Okay.
And within their desktop or their laptop, there is no data. It is just a clean access point. You log into the device,
mm-hmm.
you click a link, and it brings you over to your virtual desktop, which has its own security, authentication, everything like that. You get into that, and then it brings up all your virtual stuff. So it's
as if you're on your own, like Chrome and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
You could even have your phone be your portable desktop in that type of environment.
Yeah.
Say that again. You were talking like, super sexy. So you I just got lost in your eyes, whatever you were just saying.
You could even have your phone, like, just put your phone and interface with it, and you could launch your virtual desktop using your phone.
Yeah,
that office environment. It's cool.
With a VDI, everyone has their own unique environment. You mm-hmm. can get onto that environment from anywhere that's authorized.
Now, so, I imagine this would be super important in a lot of business. I mean, maybe less dental because you have people there, but your employees, if they're remote.
Oh, remote work, it makes it so cool.
Oh, man.
Because we have folks who come into their office, they log into their computer, they do what they need to do. At the end of the day, they head home. And they get a call, hey, you need to work on this. They boot up their home computer, and they pick it up the exact place where they left off at the office.
Right where they left off.
Yep.
Dang.
With that, there comes added levels of security.
Mm-hmm.
Namely, one of the ones that appeals to a lot of folks is, especially for folks who are remote, you know, in from home.
Yeah.
They're carrying a laptop around with them. If that gets snatched, gets opened up, gets broken into, there's nothing on that laptop.
Jeez.
There's nothing for them to take.
So there's no real reason why you'd freak out because of whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
So what if I want to create a document, right, a design, a graphic, I want to download or something like that. Does that stay on the desktop or the laptop, or does it go in the VDI?
You just do everything that you need to do on the VDI as opposed to the laptop, because the VDI is just a virtual laptop, a virtual computer.
That is pretty cool.
That you're just looking at.
Now, to answer another component to that question, it really depends what the business owner or owners want for their employees. You can make it to where they can't download anything outside of that VDI instance.
Yep.
Mm. And that actually comes in handy for stuff that's proprietary or potentially could give someone else their competitive advantage or industry secrets or salespeople. That's a really good instance where you go, maybe you don't want them the ability to download all their stuff like client lists or you know, contact lists.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good way to just house all your information and then just give people their selective access.
Gotcha. Okay. Oh, interesting. And as you're talking, I'm sitting there going, I don't know how many dental offices are doing a lot of download. I mean, they're all on scheduling or whatever. I would have met, I mean, maybe.
Yeah, we haven't set up any dental offices with a VDI just because, by the nature of a dental office, you're not doing much remote work.
Yeah. Open your mouth. Insert your forefinger into your own mouth. Scrub.
Oh, you're going to need to give yourself a root canal. Yeah. You got any anesthetic on hand?
Grab your sharpest paring knife.
Well, I guess, you can. It's not like, they just haven't seen it a lot yet. Exactly. But there is that, I personally think that there's a lot more security in a VDI environment opposed to having all your stuff in a local desktop instance. Even in like the dental office. I mean, you'd be surprised some of the stories that you read or in our case experience with clients or people we're coming into. I mean, someone, when their doctor goes away, they went there for a reason, to trying to get information or money or whatever.
Yeah.
They put a USB into the computer and.
Yep.
There you go.
Done.
Yeah. There's a lot of things like that make it better. We typically, right now we actually are in the process of, we're not forcing anyone at this point, but we are heavily recommending to all of our cloud-based clients
move over
to a VDI. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit more cost included with it. That's just the nature of VDIs. But for everyone who can find it within their budget to do it, it's way, way more secure, way better. And honestly, the costs aren't, it's not backbreaking. It's still less than most servers and things like that.
Yeah, servers and licensing you have to put to get to that same level. It's just, it's going to be, I think that, in a lot of instances now that's becoming more widespread technology, like most tech does, it's becoming more of a net zero in terms of, cost benefit. So there's really no reason not to do it. And you just have to worry about having to have, get a quote, pick out what server option you want, wait for the server to install, go downtime for them to be able to install it in a certain window.
Right.
Hope everything works.
Plus, when you talk about servers, I'm not an electrical engineer. I'm not a very intelligent server guy. I can work on them, but I couldn't tell you a lot about them just from a, what you need standpoint. And not many people are. You need someone with very specialized set of skills, very, specialized set of training and a little bit of experience to be able to accurately and correctly tell you what you need when it comes to a server.
In which you guys do. You have
that. Yeah. We do it. We have the guys who do that. That guy is not me.
Yeah.
But that being said, I just explained a VDI to you, and based on your environment, we could tell you right away if it would be beneficial to you.
Right. Is there different brands of these VDIs, like different types? Like, what are your favorite two?
We keep on saying VDI. I believe that is the VMware title for it. I mean, Windows itself has remote desktop capabilities.
Mm. But not everybody uses Windows.
Right, exactly. There's
also, just remote desktop by itself is not very secure.
Yeah, it's less secure. It can, pardon me. Again, it can be used, but pardon me, I have to hiccup.
It's that Woodford. Yeah. It'll do it every time.
It's the Coca-Cola I drink right before the Woodford.
He pounded that. I thought when you brought it in, we're gonna have like bourbon and Coke. I'm like, oh, it's unique. Let's do it.
No, man, I am. That's another story. We can get into that in the end if we want, but I can't burp. So I just have that thing that some people in population.
You just can't?
I
so just, you have to hold it?
I just can't. So it creates, it's a little bit painful in my stomach whenever I drink a lot of beer or soda, anything like that.
Yeah.
But my wife and I decided that I should do the Sprite Challenge this last weekend.
The Sprite Challenge?
What's the Sprite Challenge, yeah.
Do you know what that is?
Your boomer's showing. So
yeah.
The Sprite Challenge is, it's a TikTok social media challenge right now where you take a Sprite and you try to drink the whole thing in one. You can chug
like
it.
Like a 2 liter?
No, just a...
Oh, a can. Okay.
And not burp.
That's so much carbonation in there.
It is.
You can be like a seagull with
it. A lot of people burp, belch, throw up, you know, very... And
crap their pants.
I have video proof. I have video proof. One of my proudest moments.
Was letting one go?
Yeah. No, it was fine. I didn't burp. Didn't really feel uncomfortable or anything like that. It was what it was.
Why are you not TikToking that up and just being like, listen, I got this?
We took the video. Our TikTok has exactly 2 followers. It's each other.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's...
So go ahead. Follow Ethan.
Yeah, that's right. Now. that's my little plug.
Okay, so some closing thoughts that you want to get out to dinner. I'd like to encourage them to go, hey, at least go take a look. If you're, you know, got index cards and you've got, you know, friggin' folders on your desktop, you should probably not do that.
Honestly, that is, if there is one thing that I got excited for when it came to this podcast, you know, beside the whiskey.
Yeah.
It's... There's a term when I was going through some of my training when I was younger, you know, there are known unknowns. There are the things that we all know that we don't know. I know that I, you know, don't know how to work on a server as efficiently as some of the other folks. Those are things that I know. What gets people and what always puts people out of business from an IT's perspective are not those things, because you can prevent those things. Mm-hmm. It's the unknown unknowns. It's the things that you just don't know that you don't know.
Right.
So having podcasts like this out there where you can just listen and learn that, hey, this way that we're doing this right now, where it's just all out on every computer and everyone downloads everything and, you know, there's passwords, but nothing's two-factor, nothing's encrypted.
Yeah.
If you just don't know that that's not safe, then you'll never fix it. And you'll never attempt to fix it.
Because it's no need.
Exactly. Also, for the dental owners or the head dentist or the group or practice that are monetarily motivated.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. Per occurrence or per instance of violation, if you were to get audited, is $50,000.
And just to put that in perspective, every computer is a separate instance.
Oh.
Every type of customer is a separate instance. I think in some cases, depending on how much information is leaked, every customer's information is a separate instance. It builds up.
Wow.
It builds up real quick. If you have a HIPAA violation that includes release of public information,
it could kill you.
It most often puts people out of business.
Most often.
So it's
like, who's enforcing it? Is the federal government?
HIPAA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gee, many Christmas. That's crazy.
Which is why when we get involved as an MSP, we're obviously tied to those places.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We do not step in. We do not create partnerships. We usually refuse to help folks who do not, you know, approve to get their stuff fixed.
Yeah. Got to help yourself.
Yeah. We don't want to get our fingers dirty in it, so to speak.
There's sometimes too, like they say that they just choose. We essentially create like an addendum.
Yeah.
Basically like a release of liability. We told you, we set up a solution, you still don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Sign here that you don't want to do it, so it's not on y'all.
Because
that makes sense.
Because to be completely honest, to get folks within, you know, IRS has its 4557 for like consulting tax groups, HIPAA is for medical offices, it's very similar.
Mm-hmm.
To get yourself within regulation for either of those, it is not that hard, it is not that expensive, but it takes work. And a little bit of time.
But it'll save you so much if you don't have...
It doesn't need to be completely optimal and perfect to be within regulations.
Yeah.
And so if you're not even willing to do that, then that's a good indicator to us, both personally and as a business, that it's not a good idea to work with you.
Ha. Challenge. Challenge to all you
now for
dental practices who are cheap asses.
For those of you out there who are listening who are like, hey, I'm not like that. I care about my business. I care about my patients or clients if you're not a dental office.
Yeah.
We do have some great resources. I'm sure some of them will be tagged with this particular podcast about.
They're in the comments below.
In the comments below. About different options that you can have if it doesn't completely, you know, tie into what you do. Check out our website. We got plenty of resources on there that are just, you know, tailored for different both industries and issues. And if, you know, if you have any specific questions, feel free to give us a call. You know, advice is free. It's, you know, we enjoy helping people be better within the tech world.
What's your number?
My number is 916-899-2014.
Is that the office number?
That's my personal number.
You're throwing that out?
That's my personal cell number.
Oh, you guys have access to the granted, guru.
That is my work cell number. And, you know, I am a technician here. I am an account manager here. So, you know, it's whoever they call, it would be passed to me most likely anyway.
Yeah, so just go right to the source.
Yeah, just go straight to me. It'll save you some time. And, you know, we can have a nice chat.
Yeah, there you go. Possibly over some Woodford.
Also, website plug, www.inicorp.net.
.net.nizzle.
.net. Thank you for that.
I just kind of felt like an Andy going there.
Yeah, it does.
But you did great.
Oh, I thank you.
But you did great.
I appreciate it.
We are going to close this show out. We hope you guys enjoyed it. Go to those resources, and we'll be back soon with some more whiskey and wires.